Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location in the universe. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia.
David Tucros.
Join us
on a metaphysical,
holistic,
and intuitive journey.
The call-in number is 646-595-3440.
So sit back, relax,
and enjoy the ride. Welcome to With Insights Radio. Good day, Monday. I'm glad to have everybody on board. I'm Iggy Garcia.
And I'm David Tucros.
And I'm Adriana Arts.
Want to welcome everybody to the show. It is Monday. It is hot as all can be. And I'm in a dislocated location because I'm down somewhere really cold. I have to wear a sweatshirt. And Adriana's like, maybe you're running a slight fever. I'm like, I never thought about that. But, yeah, I want to welcome everybody to the show, and I'm happy that you two can join me tonight. Later on the show, we're going to have Lori Abel. She's going to be talking to us a little bit about what she does and some of the work she's doing and a new book she's putting out. So we look forward for her to call in about the 7:30 portion of our show. But, like I said, I want to welcome everybody, and I want to welcome both of you. So how you guys doing?
Oh, well, thank you. Speaking for myself, I'm doing well. It sure has been a crazy ride. Speaking of, you know, we were sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's been a pretty crazy ride lately here in the world, it feels like. You know, weather-wise, of course, we're sweltering here, and there's been thunderstorms and all kinds of high heat across the nation. And politically, we've had a lot of things to talk about, a lot of storms going on there, you know, as things get shaken up and shaken out. And sometimes it feels like you're just holding on for dear life, you know, as you go through your day. It's like, what's going to happen next? You know, you can't believe it sometimes. But, you know, having these relationships like we do, you know, our friendship and the other people we know and even relationships with spirit like we do, you know, those are strong anchors for me, and those are things that I'm really so grateful for to having in my life. So I just feel like I hold on to those, and I can get through whatever I need to get through while I'm here, and it just keep getting more and closer to what we're all waiting for, really, which is a rebirth, some kind of new growth out of this, like the phoenix from the ashes, you know, coming forth again. So anyway, that's kind of a long introduction, but yeah, I'm doing fine. Thank you.
How about you, Adriana?
Well, thanks for having me also on the show. And,
you're welcome.
I'm doing okay. Kind of been emotional and experiencing emotions and a lot of different ones, you know. Whether it's memories, laughter, sadness, tears, trying to comfort people, someone close to me, and going through some really hard things right now, and actually having to face the reality of, you know, when I will be losing probably one of my parents. So it's just that time in my life anyway where nobody's getting any younger. We're all getting older, and the what matters more to me right now isn't who's on the ballot at all. That's
right.
Not what matters to me. What matters to me is trying to be there for my parent that is terrified, you know?
I understand.
Just terrified about what's coming and just trying to listen and not cry, not break down and, you know, be strong.
Right.
But some days that's overwhelming. Sorry.
No,
that's all right.
No, you're right. You know, it's a very emotional time. A lot of things are stirring in the ether, And a lot of transitions, a lot of people transitioning out of old lives, relationships, even this life. So it's hard, you know, and here we stand at the gate, you know, and we try to do our best to comfort and assure those people who are afraid, like your mom or many of the other people out in the world, afraid of what's coming next, when we don't even know, you know, sometimes what's coming next. But we have hope. We have some comfort to give, some love to give to them as, you know, as they move through whatever they need to move through. I really liked the video that you put out on Facebook where you were offering that suggestion to, you know, listen to people or just hold space with them as they go mm-hmm. through these powerful emotions. You know, some people, as you said in your video, they want to talk about it, and some people don't want to talk about it. But either way, we should be there for them as a friend, as a comforter. You know, somebody who can put a hand on the shoulder and be a listening ear. You know, it's tough times. You know, and these times, even though they're exciting in a way because things are changing, there's loss. There's grief. There's letting go of things that are hard to let go of. So I really appreciate that you put that out there, Adriana, and opened yourself up emotionally to all that.
Oh, thank you. I would like to share something that happened really early this morning when I first got to work. I work, you know, with a bunch of guys, so... and, you know, not all of them come into the shop first thing in the morning, but sometimes I have quite a few. And this morning one of them was in, and I just took one look at him, and the sadness and worry and sadness, it was the look on his face, you know. And normally he's just a happy guy, and today it was just something, I knew something was really close to home with him. I when I came down the hallway and I saw him standing there in that look, I just went right up to him and I said, what's the matter? I said, are you okay? And he just turned and looked at me and he said, no. And he just really mumbled low. I mean, I knew he didn't want to talk at that point. And I said, well, I said, whatever it is, that I'm sorry that you're going through it. And I just gave him a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't want to talk. And he just hugged me so tight. I mean, mm-hmm. he just like a kid, you know, laying his head on my shoulder. He's a big grown man. I mean, you know, but I just hugged him. I said, whatever it is, I said, I'm sorry you're going through it. And he said, thank you, and, you know, out he went, but I don't know what's going on with him, but I had to just say kind of a prayer. But I'm glad I'm just glad I hugged him.
That's
and,
awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, you don't hear a lot of stories like that from people,
mm-hmm.
you know, but. And I just thought, wow, after I did that video, I really wasn't even thinking about that incident from 7:30 this morning until after
mm-hmm.
I watched it again. And
mm-hmm.
I thought, wow, I did that today, you know? And I just, I don't know, it was just different. It was a different kind of day for me today from the get-go, but I am glad that I showed kindness to somebody that did seem like they needed it. So.
Yeah, I think it's easy to be negative in today's times. I think it's easy to be negative any time in any period of time in history. And it's hard sometimes to find the beauty in things. But I think with your video and the story you just said, just showing compassion for people, you know, and, you know, that unconditional love, because that's basically what you were showing them, showing your coworker. That's pretty sweet. I know we all kind of get caught up in the stories. I do too. And sometimes it's easier to vent and yell and bitch and complain. But I've also been trying to work on trying to find the the positive thing side of things and look at things in a different light. And sometimes it's hard. And then sometimes it's really easy. But I have to say, there's probably more good things going on in the world than we sometimes think there is. You know, the world shows us its ugly face, and we kind of hyper focus on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, how are you?
Your turn.
Today's just been. This is one of those days where you just. I was out earlier, running errands, and the heat was really, really intense today, and I kind of, I didn't necessarily have an asthma attack, but I just couldn't breathe that heavy. It felt like I was in water. I felt like I just couldn't catch my breath, and it was just so heavy, and I was just, in the pollution or whatever's out there, and that combined with that heat, my lungs were just kicking it up and didn't want any in my body at all. It says, we don't want that. And I had to kind of stay inside most of the day today because I just couldn't handle it. And that's one of those things when we're talking about, you know, you had mentioned earlier that we're all going through changes. We're all going through a metamorphosis of sorts. Our bodies are, you know, doing other things. And we kind of remember the old days when we could just about anything. And and then you're like, man, wow, this is crazy. I would never have thought of this when I was 20 or 30 years old, that I'd be feeling anything like this. And it's just the reality. But, you know, I embrace it too. You know, I understand. I get that. I don't necessarily like it. But I know I have to learn to deal with it. Or, you know, just find another way to approach it and accept it and embrace it. It doesn't have to be bad. Maybe it's a good thing. You know, maybe it's my body just telling me, hey, you know, we need to go inside because old me probably would have stayed out until I was so exhausted and couldn't even move. And they'd probably find me on the ground somewhere.
It seems to me, kind of in the back of my mind, it feels like that we're being communicated to through the weather somehow. Like this is Earth Mother's way of telling us something, like, you know, that things are becoming harsher because, you know, she's going through changes too. You know, she's maybe, and I'm sure we have our part in that too, but I think there are also natural changes. I think that as Earth goes through phases, you know, we know through history that there have been ice ages and times between ice ages and things like that where the weather has shifted dramatically. And, you know, she's got a right to do that too. You know, she doesn't have to be so comforting and welcoming to us all the time. We need to learn to be sensitive to her too, and to know that she goes through changes and we ride along on those changes. And, you know, we don't have much choice, but if we can understand what she's going through the clouds, through the weather, through feeling the earth, you know, beneath our feet, then we become more her children and not just the renters, the residents, you know, here, just taking up space. We reconnect. And it may, you know, like you say, there's harsh times too. You know, the winter sometimes gets down to 30 below here. And so we get the other end of that spectrum. But it's all part of her breathing. It's all part of her moving. You know, it's all part of the moods that she has and the way that she shifts and changes, you know. It could be that the jet stream shifts further south or north, you know, and when that happens, we feel that upheaval. But for her, it's just a natural, you know, a natural cycle, a natural phase. So I've been a lot more in tune with the weather and with, like I say, watching clouds and when feeling the earth. It's almost something I can't describe, but it's like a language or a communication of sorts.
Yeah, I get you.
I definitely agree with that. And, well, you know, when she changes, we have to embrace her as a mother. She is. She's a mother to everyone. When she is going through what she's going through, we have to embrace that, good or bad. Doesn't matter. We have to embrace it.
Absolutely.
Well, regardless if we don't embrace it, we're going to have to adapt very quickly. You know what I'm saying? that mm-hmm. happens. I mean, so those of you who don't want to embrace, where you're going to have to adapt then. I think Earth is communicating with us and is talking to us, and the plants talk to us. Everything talks to us. We just have to listen. We have to remember the language. Sometimes we forget the language because we're so processed in our minds and conditioned and wired to just be kind of one directional in the way we approach things. But yeah, Earth is talking to us, and you know, like you've all heard me say, you know, it's our survival that really matters, because the Earth will be fine. The Earth will do what she does, even if she would to blow up tomorrow or in the next 50 seconds, you know, she would be fine because she would become a new evolution. So would we. We'd all have to adapt very quickly. We're mm-hmm. part of the cosmic, you know, orchestra. We are all part of that magic that's out there, and we're all from it. And sometimes I think we forget that. I think we forget the connection with spirit. We forget the connection with the Mother Earth. We forget the connection with the sun. We forget the connection with the stars, the moon, the asteroid that flies by. You know, we forget sometimes that we're part of all that. And sometimes we just think that, you know, we're so insignificant and we're so small that we don't deserve that. But we are deserving that. We are part of that. We belong to that. We helped create that. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that we helped and we had some play in that. Or we wouldn't be here today where we're at. We somehow manifested ourselves to this existence in this period in time. And that's through a lot of, evolving, through our ancestors, through, different types of organisms, through spirit, through God, whatever you want to call it. You know, we played a part in us being here. We're here for a reason. There's no accident in my belief system.
Yeah,
mine
either.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, I wrote this little like a love letter to Ohio, and I felt like I had to share that because my mind and my eye wanders sometimes, and I go, you know, where's this other, some other place I could be, you know, or some other thing I could be doing, you know, and I sometimes fail to appreciate what's around me, so. This little letter was like a reminder to me of the beautiful place that I'm in right now and the beautiful people and experiences that I've had in my life. So if you don't mind, can I read it?
I would love for you to, please.
Okay. Thank you. So this is an open letter to Ohio. Dear Ohio, I like you a lot. I know some people put you down, say you were too country bumpkin or too boring, that your weather is unpredictable and your landscape is unremarkable. I, too, have been guilty of putting you down on occasion, of letting my mind and my eye wander westward. I hope you understand. After all, the West was where I was born and had been my home for many years. It's true you don't have the soaring peaks of the Rockies or the awesome grandeur of Alaska's glaciers, but your beauty is more subtle, more down to earth, and more accessible. Your rolling hills, your meandering rivers, your farmlands, and many small towns are charming. Your modern cities are bustling with life and culture. You have solid values and open arms that embrace everyone who enters your borders. What did I first notice about you when I came here? All the life that thrives here. Such a variety of birds whose calls were almost overwhelming. The flowering trees that fill the air with wonderful scents and sights. The crickets and fireflies that made the nights here an enchanting experience. Maybe those who have lived their whole lives here have grown accustomed to these things, but the newcomer from the far north noticed these things like someone stepping on another planet. I've explored trails and caverns and sacred sites, followed trails that the first people here followed. Seen art and architecture that comes from hundreds of years of human habitation. I have ancestors that are buried beneath your soil. And the many friends I have met here, people I would never have known if I hadn't ventured south, experiences that I wouldn't have had, precious memories that I will cherish all my life. I wanted to tell you all this, Ohio, because I think you should know how beautiful you are. Yes, there are more striking and majestic states than you, but you are the hearth and home and faithful one waiting on the front porch for the traveler to return. I appreciate you, Ohio.
That's beautiful.
Awesome, bro. That's nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Good.
You know, when I first came down here, I was listening to the birds, and I'm thinking, that bird sounds just like somebody's beeper going off. That's crazy. You know, it's just weird. Uh-huh. It's just almost, you know, I couldn't describe it. You know, and at night, to drive at night and see the flocks of fireflies, just like stars that had come to Earth, you know. You miss that when you don't grow up with that. When I grew up in Alaska, they don't have fireflies. They don't have crickets. So the nights are very quiet. But you go out in the night in Ohio, and it's like a whole world is alive, you know, still, even in the darkness there. There's life. There's such life here in this place. And also, you know, when I was getting ready to move down here, everything seemed to connect to Ohio all of a sudden. I kept hearing Ohio this, Ohio that, you know. So I began to refer to Ohio as the secret center of the universe. You know, so there's something going on here that everything ties back to. So, you know, it's funny, but it's a place that I have I've really grown to love, you know, and a lot of me is always going to be here just because of the experiences I've had, no matter where I go, you know. And I'll always cherish this place, and I'll always cherish you as my friends. So that also was a love letter to you as well.
Absolutely. Awesome. We love you too.
Oh,
we love you too, bro.
I know.
And we appreciate you and your words of wisdom. Because you definitely share a lot of yourself, you know, almost every day. You share a lot of yourself.
I do. The good, the bad, and the ugly sometimes. But, you know, that's me. I want to be honest about who I am. And that's what I appreciate about you guys is I can be honest about who I am with you. And you still love me for it, you know?
Yeah.
Yes,
this is true. We love you
so
just the way you are.
Let's have a group hug. Come on. Yeah.
Okay, ready? Group hug.
You're listening to WithinTouchRadio.com.
Right, that's us hugging. Don't squeeze too hard.
So Lori's coming on, and she is listed as a pantheist. So I'll be interested to hear a little bit about that. You know, I know something about pantheism, but, you know, I'd like to hear a little bit about what she's got to say about that, especially since we were talking about, you know, Earth and the universe earlier. So that'll be something to maybe bring up when she comes on.
Yeah, she'll be on around the 7:30 mark, just after our break. So hopefully she didn't fall asleep or anything. It does happen sometimes.
Yeah. During our show, never.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come right back. Okay?
All right.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com. Your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic, and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com live on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Today we are joined by our guest, Lori Abel. She'll be on 7:30 hour, bottom of the hour. Right now I'm on with David and Adriana, and I'm in a silly mood. I don't know why. Being goofy over here. But we hope you're enjoying what we're talking about. We talk about ourselves, you know. Sometimes it's nice just to say, hey, what's going on, talk about ourselves. And, you know, because we're people too. we're humans, and sometimes we take on a lot of people's stuff because they look for us for answers, and necessarily the answers aren't necessarily within us. They're part of us, and we have part of the answers because we channel through the energies of the universe, through creation, through God, through spirit, whatever you want to call it. And we help other people find their way, and we find our way within the process. You know, Adriana had her video today, which was really awesome. You know, I think that's the first time I've seen you do a video like that. So it was like really touching for me. It was like really like I sat there and I listened, and I took note to it, you know, and listened to the words that you were saying, and you know, and it made sense. You know, sometimes we just need people, we need to let people process what they need to process and be where they need to be. And we're such a fix-it society, you know. We want to fix everybody, fix everything, you know.
Yeah.
And
yes.
We just got too many people who just want to, you know, make everything right. And sometimes going through the stumbling and going through, you know, the process is part of making it right. It's part of learning. It's part of the experience. It's part of the challenge. You know, that's what helps us get to where we need to be. Kind of like the analogy that you used one time on a show, Dave, about the butterfly being coming out of its cocoon. If we if we assist it, you know, we damage it. And sometimes people have to go through those periods in their lives in order to become better, you know, and they have to go through that metamorphosis. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, if we as human beings sometimes disrupt that natural flow that people have to feel. I don't know. What do you guys think?
You definitely can disrupt it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You definitely can. That's what I'm trying to be more mindful of with myself anyway, as to I was talking with my mom the other night, and she brought up something that still kind of bothers her, that's on her mind, about a friend that she thought was a really close friend and that she was really attached to, that I don't even know all the details. All I know is that this friend said some very hurtful things when that was the last thing that my mom needed or wanted to hear at the time. And it literally has caused their friendship, you know, to just not, it just doesn't exist. And I said, Mom, I said, sometimes, I said, you have to just let it go under the bridge. Let the water flow under the bridges and release it, and not harbor, you know, I know it hurts, but not harbor grudges or bad feelings, you know, about that person or the friendship. Because sometimes you have to accept the friendship and that person was in your life for that amount of time. And now, obviously, it's just moved on. But you have to be able just to let that water flow, let it go on under the bridge. And that's hard. But quite a few of people that I'm close to and that I know very well, and I myself used to be this way, up until about probably 5 years ago. But a lot of people hold grudges to where they won't speak to you till the day you die or they do, you know?
Yes.
And
it's too bad.
Yeah, and that is just so destructive to yourself when you hold on to the bad feelings and emotions and the anger and you hold that grudge. That hurts you 10 times more than it hurts the person that you have this grudge against. And it took me being the person that used to hold a grudge for a long time. You know, I used to be that person when I was younger. But it took me going through some really tough tragedies in this real life that made me realize that was hurting me more than the incident itself, even. Just tearing me up as a person and tearing down the whatever goodness or kindness was in my heart. That's what holding on to that does. It destroys that. And one day, you know, I woke up and it was like my heart was like stone. And it wasn't just towards that person. It was about everything and everybody around me at that point in my life. And that it all stemmed from holding on to that. So there you go.
Let it go, let it go.
Right.
No, you're right. It's true. It's true. Just a short example that I may have given before, but you know, my ex-wife, and I went through a lot of things, you know, and, there was a lot of reason for me to hold a grudge against her. You know, there was a lot of hurt there. There was a lot of manipulation there, a lot of just bad things, you know, and for a while I found myself doing that. I found myself just seething with that kind of quiet boiling anger, mm-hmm. you know, like, just you know, holding that inside. What a relief it was when I finally let go of that, you know, and I saw her not shortly after that I let go of all that, and for the first time in, like, you know, 10 years or so, you know, or more, we saw each other because I was coming to attend my daughter's wedding, and my daughter lived real close to where my ex-wife was, and I remember when she first saw me, she was almost, like, scared and could see that she was just really tense, and I just said, "Hi, how are you?" you know. Isn't it great that Kaylee's getting married here, you know? And she was like, "Wow, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen there." And she started crying, you know, and she was, "I didn't know what was going to be." And so I said, "Hey, look, you know, everything that's happened in the past is past. We're here for our daughter now and for her life to get started anew. So I'd let go of all that a long time ago." And
mm-hmm.
and that was the end of it, you know, and it was so good to be able to offer her that gift, you know, that she was a human being too. She made mistakes. She wasn't perfect, you know. She reacted to things the way she was programmed or by her past to react to them, and I understood that. And I was like, "Yeah, I'm cool." And that was a great
mm-hmm.
relief for me, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a big weight off of your shoulders.
Exactly.
And you feel different when you have that experience inside, you know, and it shows. I mean, it's like you have another... you know, kicking your step there, you know, afterwards, you really feel lighter.
Yep. And in the subsequent visits that I've had to Washington to see my daughter, and when my ex-wife has been around, it's been just great, you know. We talk,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's good. It's a lot better than it could have been and would have been if I had been so stubborn as to hold on to all those angry feelings and everything. But, yeah, it's a gift you give yourself. That's what forgiveness is.
Mhm. Yeah, I think we live sometimes in a society of, you know, where people want dysfunction. I mean, I don't know
yeah.
why it feels that way. I think some people just want to be in crisis mode all the time. I think it's easier
mm-hmm.
for them to hide, you know, inside crisis mode and, you know, deflect. And, you know, it's easier to push things away instead of facing them. And you know, what do you tell somebody who likes to be in crisis mode? What do you tell somebody who constantly has to, you know, shame you? And but they're shaming themselves in the process, too. But we do have
mm-hmm.
a lot of people who and we know people like this, you know, and who just, you wish the best for them. You want them to do better. You want them to move out of that place. But I think it's an addiction. I really think it's someone's,
mm-hmm.
you know, addiction to be in that kind of situation. I mean, the more, you know, we start to study the human mind, you know, we start to discover that our mind is very powerful, and our mind being powerful can really, 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 really create a world and paint a picture for us that maybe in our mind is real. You know, from someone outside looking in, they may say, "No, they're fine. You know, they're doing good." But inside of our own little box or little round head that we have, we create the most incredible stories. We create the most dysfunctional, you know, behavior that we could ever imagine. And, you know, when someone says they don't have imagination or they're boring, I don't believe that. I think, you know, we're capable of doing anything that we truly want to. And I know it's hard for some to actually step out of that box in their head and do things. But, you know, we're the ones who kind of put ourselves in those positions. Yeah, things happen to us, like everybody, things happen to us, you know, but how you respond and how you react and how you move through the mud and how you move through the you know, all that stuff that happens to us, I think that's the key. That's important, you know, how if we stay there or if we move from there or if we're attempting to move from there. I can't say that it's easy for everybody. I can't say it's easy for me. I can't say it's easy for, you know, the guy next door who's my neighbor. But I do think that we do like to create crisis moments, and the human species is really good at that.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it seems like drama defines a lot of people's lives. You know, maybe it makes them feel alive if they have an impact on someone else, you know, whether it's negative or not. You know, we're looking for our feedback all the time from our environment. You know, I'm good, you're bad. You know, we don't feel alive unless we get this kind of tension sometimes in our lives that tells us, oh yeah, this feels right. You know, at least it may not feel comfortable for people around us or even ourselves, but it's what we're used to. And we keep recreating that over and over again. Like you said, the more we learn about human psychology, we find that we're the generators of that, you know, but that also gives us the freedom to end it at any time. Anytime we consciously, openly, you know, decide for ourselves that we don't want that anymore, we can stop it on a dime. You know, we don't have to carry that into any further moment than the present one if we don't want to. You know, we can end it just as easily as we create it. So
right.
That we have that freedom too.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know some people that they're not happy unless there's nothing but, you know, drama or turmoil going on. And that is where they seem to thrive. They can't handle having a good day ever. they all would always find something bad about that good day. And I've just got to where, you know, when I'm around someone like that that's venting or trying to basically influence or affect my day by telling me and saying some of the things that they say, I now choose to react a lot differently, and I'll let them vent, I'll listen, and I'll always get the, well, what do you think? You know, am I crazy, or what do you think? You know, they want an answer, and I'm like, well, if it sounds like that's what you think, and if that's what you think, then that is what you're going to experience. But, you know, you could try these other things to help that out or, you know, fix the problem or whatever. You could try these other things. But it's entirely up to you. You decide what world you want to live in and what your world's going to look like. So if you're going to have a bad day, apparently, then I guess enjoy it, but I really wish you wouldn't. You know, I'll say something like that.
But it's amazing.
Usually,
though,
I get actually a good response, though. I mean, I will usually get a good response handling it like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll kind of laugh and say, "Yeah, you're right." I, you know, and then another thing that I do say a lot to people that love to live in drama and crisis all the time, that are always something's going on or they're complaining or, you know, griping about something, and I usually, you know, will just say, well, what can you do to change that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me everything that you're experiencing, but what did you actually do or what can you do to change that? And then they're quiet, you know, for a moment, and they have to think about it, you know. But at some point, well, you're right. And I'm like, you can't change other people, and you can't change other people. The only thing you can change is yourself and how you're reacting to this whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the only thing that I do know to tell anybody like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you really only have control of what you can control. And yet somebody goes into crisis mode just because it's easier to be there, you know. But, I don't know, our minds are very complex, but they're also very super simple, you know? I mean, they say we only use 10% of our brain capacity, most of us. So I can't even imagine what it would be like to even use 100% or 50% or 25%, 30%. You know, we've all seen the movie Lucy at some point or time, you know, I believe. And they where a drug enhanced the stimulation of the brain to become, you know, 100%. And it's just amazing that our brains that are inside of our heads, everybody on this planet that I'm aware of has never seen light unless you have brain surgery, of course, but it doesn't really know what light is. It only translates, you know, the vibration, the emotion and the stimulation of what that looks like. And just like our feelings in our hands and in our heart and our body and all that stuff is all, it's all translated. It's all feeling. It's like, you know, trying to figure it out and understand, you know, it's amazes. And it amazes me what we can do and what we can accomplish with these vessels that we have that we're using temporarily, you know, to house the spirit that's inside of us and the things we can feel, you know, having, you know, a relationship with somebody and being engaged in sex with them and to love them and to touch them and feel them and to be, you know, in that moment with them and where you actually feel like you become like one person. It just shows you that the body, it really is an illusion. It's there, but it's not there at the same time. You know, we can transcend time and space, you know, when we are in certain, you know, modes in our body and when we're feeling certain emotions and feelings. And I mean, that example I can tell you right now is too, because we've all had that feeling also when we're down and depressed, when we're feeling outside of ourselves as well, like we're not connected. So it goes both ways. You know, I hear people, I've said it, I just feel like I'm outside of my body. I can see myself walking, you know, or something like that. That's true. That's a true statement. That's real. That's real for somebody in their mind, you know, and for those of us who can't visualize, that's probably even kind of harder. There are people who can't actually visualize colors. They have to construct in words and feelings and stuff. They can't actually create an image. These are the aphantasia people. You know, these are the people who can't really create an image. And I never really thought about that, you know, and I thought, wow, that's kind of crazy because I can do part of it sometimes and part of it I can't. Do you guys ever feel that way? Can you see an image or can you just feel an image?
I think I do both.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can do both, really. I've always been very visual. I've always seen things even before I knew what they were. I saw things, you know, in visions or dreams. So I've always had a very active imagination. My mother took me one time to have brainwave tests done when I was very young, about 5 years old, and that's what the doctor told her. Oh, yeah, that's what the doctor told her. Said, I will tell you one thing, there's nothing wrong with her. If there is, we don't know what it could be, but she has an extremely active imagination. You know, she's got a mind in there for a 5 year old.
Wow.
So.
Yeah.
But Mom, I saw a panda and I saw a crow, Mom. I did.
Oh, you'd be surprised at some of the things I've seen. By the way, scary. They were scary for a child, you know.
Sure.
I mean, you're not even asleep, and you turn out, you know, you got a nightlight on in your room or whatever because you're that young or whatever. But, you know, it's kind of dim lit, and then all of a sudden there's somebody standing there right over the bed. And then you see them plain as day, and you're talking to them, and then all of a sudden they just crumble and disappear. You know, those were terrifying for me as a child, especially if I didn't know who was standing there. Wasn't so bad if I did know, but if I didn't know who it was, that was pretty terrifying. I'd be running down the stairs screaming, Mom, you know, I'm a visual person, but I can also feel things too. You know, if mm-hmm. if you say picture that, you know, in a lot of meditations, they'll say picture a white, you know, light shining down on you and surrounding you like in a white bubble for your protection. I can feel that warmth when I visualize mm-hmm. that light and that white. I feel the warmth that my body tingles when I have that visual. You okay. you use that a lot in some of your meditation, Iggy.
Yeah, I do. But what's funny is I just recently have been studying a process that the mind, how the mind works, which is called aphantasia. Aphantasia mm-hmm. are people who cannot really construct images in their mind. And for a long time, they had problems doing meditation, had problems doing visualization, and no one knew what was going on. So, but a lot of people just brushed it off like it was nothing important. Like it was like, well, maybe mm-hmm. Maybe today I just don't see anything. But it's actually something in the mind where it cannot construct. Like if I said, look at a beach, what do you see on the beach? Do you see the umbrella on the beach? And then most of us would conjure up this image of a beach, but everybody would conjure up a different image. And if I added the umbrellas, was there one umbrella or was there 10 umbrellas? You know, what kind of umbrella was it, you know? And so people mm-hmm. who have aphantasia sometimes have to think what an umbrella would look like. They know what an umbrella looks like, but they can't necessarily create the image of an umbrella or a beach. And if they do, they create it in a way that's not crystal clear. So, it's, mm-hmm. you know, there are people who have had a little bit of that. And I think I have a little bit of that. I don't think I have a lot of it, because there's times where I can't visualize, but I can feel the feeling. Like I can, and then there's times where I can really see it. But the majority of the time, it's how I feel and where my body goes in that moment. It's kind of interesting, you know. So, you know, but I do use those visualization tools, but I don't use a lot of them as much anymore. I kind of use things that people relate to, like numbers and colors and things like that, because people know what those mm-hmm. are right off the bat. Oh, I know what a one looks like or feels like or the color blue feels like or you know, looks like. But another thing that I use sometimes when I'm doing work like this is what something would smell like. And then that helps create, too. That creates movement in the inside of our body with endorphins and the different feelings to our body. And it mm-hmm. moves the memories in our mind, and it starts to, you know, roll the tape. You know, if I said something, mm-hmm. someone said, can you smell that beautiful, juicy red steak cooking on the grill? Some people can do it. Some people can't.
Mm-hmm.
But a majority of us can you smell that fart, you know? But what really happened? Can you smell that fart? Did you smell a fart or did you have the emotion of what a fart, what those moments that you had when you heard a fart or if you farted? No, but it's yeah. a serious question. So what did you feel?
Well, I actually farted. So, you know, it was interesting.
I love it.
Well, I laughed as if
you
just farted.
So, you guys play really well.
That's a powerful manifestation, brother.
But you know, our minds are vulnerable,
yes.
man. Our minds are very vulnerable. You know, you weren't with us, David, at the Olentangy Indian Caverns.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
we missed you, by the way.
We did miss you.
I did miss you too.
But you know, and I played a game with people, but not a malicious game. It was just I just wanted to be funny. So I went up to the sign that says, "Here's your tour guide," and then I started saying, "All right, come on, everybody, gather up, let's go. We're getting ready for the tour." Blah blah blah. You know, and how people just flocked, how people just came, and how people just were like listening and so attentive. And then part of me was like, you know, that's kind of mean, dude. I mean, you know, these people really think that you're the tour guide. But I kept going, and I'm like, okay. And then I said, then, you know, I went like this, but I'm not your tour guide. I'm just here to gather us and get us ready for the tour. But they still stood there, and they still believed that I was the tour guide. And that's...
Yeah.
They wanted it was, you to be the tour guide.
Yeah, but it's funny because, you know, that's how susceptible we are, how our minds are... You know, we trust, we believe, and we give ourselves away. And then we wonder why we run into situations, why we get ourselves into problems, why we get ourselves in situations. And I was sitting there. I was very fascinated by that experience. You know, and as I was going down through the cave, I was just like, you know, and I kept telling Adriana, I kept telling Mary, kind of like, did you see what happened up there? And I was like, yeah, just walk through the cave, man. But, you know, it was interesting. It was just real. I was really interested. I was like, wow, it's very easy. I can understand why people choose sides, why people go with a candidate, why people like a sports team, why people think that some things are wrong, some things are unjust, and why, you know, I get it now. I saw it that day clearer than I ever saw it before.
It's true. You know, we do judge people by uniforms or positions we think that they're supposed to occupy. And you can take someone, you know, off the streets, maybe a homeless person, and give them a shave and a three-piece suit, and they would, you could pass them off as a businessman. You know, it's it's how we're kind of wired to make those kind of decisions and look at things. But it also shows, you know, how vulnerable we can be to manipulation or, you know, somebody, you know, portraying something that they're not. And that's why, you know, we have to have some form of discernment whenever it comes to making those kind of choices or giving those kind of loyalties or control over to someone that we think is someone, but they're really something else. So I guess that's where intuition comes in. I guess that's where maybe we have to trust a little more in our feelings rather than our logical mind and our eyes tell us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. I had fun.
I remember the show called The Pretender too. You know, have you ever heard of The Pretender?
Yeah, I did. I have.
Yeah. So he was a guy who was expert at doing that, of being like a chameleon. You know, he could jump in a situation and be a cop, and then he could jump over here and be a doctor. He could jump over there and be somebody else, you know. So, and he did that to help people, but he was wired that way, you know, from birth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had studied him and tested him, and he was in an institute, and he'd broken out, but he could assume those kind of roles, you know. He just had the kind of mind that could latch on
to
that. And I know, you know, and you just wonder. You wonder if there's people out there like that can jump into one role and another. And
you know, one. I am one. I think I could pull off certain things.
Yes.
And it's not.
I do,
and I don't do it like I don't do it to be malicious in any way. I do it. I don't know. It just comes natural. Sometimes it's like I can just flow into that energy. It's really strange. I don't know what it is, but I can just kind of flow in.
He does it as a comedy strip.
You know, I couldn't be a comedian if I wanted to spend my life.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah.
But you're right, David. You're right.
So are we still waiting for our guest then?
Yeah, she's supposed to be calling in. I think she's on the air now. So let's take a really quick little break, and then we'll bring Lori on the air, and we'll do the interview with her, and I'll let you start with the interview when we come back on the air, David. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. You're listening to With Insights Radio. I'm Iggy Garcia with David Tucros and Adriana Arts. We're going to take a quick pause, and we'll be right back with Lori Abel. She'll be sharing her thoughts with us and the different things that she's doing and her new book that she's writing. And so, hold on. We'll be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
David, take it away.
All right, thank you. Well, tonight our guest is Lori Abel. She's a massage therapist, a spiritual healer and activist. Currently, she's traveling for the summer to work on her new book and her YouTube show called Serpent Bird Activation, a show for visionaries. She's a pantheist who has discovered the use of Native American medicine wheels as her personal tool for the quickest growth during her ascension path on the planet. So I'd like to welcome you to our quirky little show, Lori.
Hey there. Hey, can you guys call me Serpent Bird? Because, you know, we're on a show where people might actually dig the word Serpent Bird. So,
all right.
Hey, whatever you want, Serpent Bird you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, that'd be great. I have to change my name on Facebook because I actually posted a really cool, like, comedic video about these kids that were protesting the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And the video was flagged, so that's my activism mm-hmm. for you. So I flew my activist flag on Facebook, and they wanted me to prove that my name was Serpent Bird on my driver's license. I couldn't do it. So otherwise, you guys probably would have gotten it the first time around.
Welcome to Zuckerberg.
Yep, that's right. Well, thank you for coming on the show. Yeah. So can you kind of give us some background and tell us how this whole journey started for you?
Absolutely. All right. Well, the name Serpent Bird actually came from I started getting interested in filmmaking back in, I'd say, like 2004. And I had a new laptop, and I started learning how to hook up my camera and do iMovie, and I wanted to kind of help women and men, like, really reconnect with the earth and get in tune with it and, you know, kind of have a therapy, so to speak. So I went to Yellow Springs with a friend, and I was filming, and as I was filming, we were down by the river, and this huge water snake about 4.5 feet long went over my foot while I was filming. And I actually didn't, like, freak out or get, you know, worried it was poisonous because it just kind of scurried along and went back in the water. And I kept filming. And as we were making this movie, we didn't even know what it was going to be called. We were just, I said, I wanted to go to the forest and kind of do these nature rituals as a girlfriend of mine. So we did that. And toward the end of the film, I realized I wanted to call it Serpent Bird and the Creative Rituals. So that's kind of where the name started. And then I ended up going to film school because I really wanted to make environmental films to make impact on the world. And back in 2006, when I went to LA to go to film school, that there really wasn't a lot of environmental documentaries at the time. It's hard to believe because now we see them, like, they're rampant all over the place on Facebook. But at that time, it was happening, but it wasn't, like, as big as it is now. So I went to Los Angeles, and I went to a kind of like a private quick crash course film school so I could maybe be an editor, and then in my free time try to find groups that I could do environmental films with. And nothing seemed to be working out in my favor. I had to drop out of the school. I went on another spiritual journey through Hopi land. I kind of have to skip over some parts here because it's a long, long journey. And I decided to leave film school early and visit this grandfather in Hopi land to figure out what was going to happen in 2012. It was like this mission I came up with. So I did that. I ended up coming back to Ohio, and then what I learned going to LA was that I didn't need to go to school this whole time. I could have just taught myself how to, you know, do the filmmaking on my own. And then I wanted to make a film about fracking because in Ohio there's a lot of, you know, misinformation and no information about what's actually happening to our water. So I used the Serpent Bird name again, and I wanted to make a film where I would be a star in the film. So I was looking for someone to shoot it. This was in Ohio. I was looking for someone to shoot it. I couldn't find people to kind of work on projects for free. So I just reassessed what I was doing, and I asked myself again, well, what is it that I really want people to experience? And it came back to the same thing that I came up with when I made the first film, which is that I just want people to reconnect with Mother Earth, and I want them to feel it in the way that I feel it. So then I began to study about the medicine wheels from books, and I tried finding people through Phoenix Bookstore, and I found, like, a Cherokee elders card, and I just kept trying to find elders and try to find out, you know, what is the deal with the medicine wheel? Why don't we know how to use this tool? So since 2010, 2011, I got this message from the Palladian star system that I was supposed to start a group called the Serpent Bird Seven. And actually, Dawn Thompson, one of your guests, was part of that group. So there was there was a group of seven that I picked that I felt have super accelerated gifts and capabilities. And I just kind of threw them together, and on the equinoxes, on the solstices, I called everyone together, and then we had public ceremonies. So that's
awesome.
A little bit of what I've been doing. Yeah.
Awesome.
Interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to write a book about this experience and pretty much everything I've kind of shortcutted for you in short form. I'm trying to actually find the name for the book. I had a name picked out called Chasing Rainbows in the Dark, but unfortunately a band and a music group a band and something else, they're both using that name. So
okay.
I'm still looking for a title at the moment, but it's something to do with being a rainbow warrior.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens.
It's dark,
yeah.
And there's a rainbow there somewhere.
Yeah. So can you give us an example of using the medicine wheel and applying how you've applied that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I got the message from the Pleiadians actually when I was at the ocean. I was in the water, and the water was talking to me in a very magical, clairvoyant way I've never experienced before. And
mm-hmm.
that's when I got the message to start the Serpent Bird 7. So when I drove this car back to Ohio, my mom had helped me get a used car in Florida, so I went from the beach back up to Ohio. And when I arrived on 11-11-11, my partner at the time proposed to me, because we had been talking about getting married. So we were going to, you know, we had planned this union. And I said, well, I think the only thing that makes sense to me is to get married in a medicine wheel. So, and we neither of us really knew still what it was about. We just still didn't know. So we found this Cherokee man, I'm not going to say who it is, but had him do a consultation with us. He said he was, you know, he was a minister in Ohio, and he said that you would, you know, smudge the land, pray on the land for 7 days, use all the seven, you know, the sacred medicines, the sage, sweetgrass, cedar, tobacco. And then what happened was we were feeling a lot of resistance. He
mm-hmm.
started explaining that he was, you know, had a gun and, like, you know, has had some kind of different conflicts in his life. And, you know, he was taking our consult into some other descriptive things that kind of gave me some background on him. And so what happened was I learned through this process of trying to have someone be my teacher that this person wasn't about peace, and that
mm-hmm.
the medicine wheel to me represented peace. And that was part of the teaching. Before I even knew how to produce a medicine wheel, I was being taught. So then
mm-hmm.
what happened was, luckily where my partner is from, they had a lot of land out in Boston where he's originally from, and it looks almost like a nature preserve. So we planned the whole wedding on this land that I had never seen, and planned the ceremony and what we wanted it to kind of feel like, and I had only been reading books at that point. I think it was called The Sacred Tree was one of the main ones I was using. And then we just followed what the, you know, the four directions, basically a simple wheel would require. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, brought all the plant medicines. And I just, you know, really had to trust that my heart was in it to, you know, do it in the best way that I could channel. And I really we both had to just teach ourselves, basically.
That's good that you listened to yourselves.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't let other things get in your way there, and you're in, mm-hmm. you were guided by your intuition, too, sounds like.
Yeah, and then about a year or two later, we ended up moving, and I had needed to go get some shamanic work done for me to kind of clarify some things, and this woman said that me and my partner had native lifetimes together before. So it was like, I feel like when I go to write the book, I'm really hoping that more information can come in and kind of connect what I'm doing now mm-hmm. with, you know, past life information as well.
So. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, we do. Yeah. You know, David and I do a lot of work with the medicine wheels as well. I'm not sure if you knew that or not. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did.
So that's pretty cool.
Somehow we haven't crossed paths, or you haven't, you know, seen my Facebook. But as I've been back in Ohio, I did a women's wheel, and it was about 15 to 20 women about 2 moons ago. And then I just recently also had a public one at Whetstone for men and women. So, yeah, since I've been here, I've just been trying to reactivate my old group, the Circumvert 7.
Awesome.
Some people kind of drifted away, but there are a few core members. And then my ex-partner actually flew from Boston just to be reunited with us. So that was really amazing.
Well, the connection, I mean, you're on the radio, so that's a connection. So you can get your message out. So there's different ways to connect. We don't always have to be at everybody's events or each other's events. You know, the universe uses us in the way that we need to be used. So properly for peace, love, and hope, and all the good things that come with that. But yeah, I'm glad you took some time to share with us. And I know that your work, I'm really curious. I heard you talking about you had met with an elder. I don't know if it was a Hopi elder or not, but you were talking about 2012. I know Don and I have talked about, Don and I talked about this one time, how nothing popped off, at least in her mind, nothing popped off. But I talked to her, I gave her my version of what I thought popped off. But what's your take? What do you think happened after that? I mean, I know something happened, and I feel it in my system, but I want to hear what you have to say since you're really active in this kind of work.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, I'll just tell you a little sketch of what I ended up doing that year when I left film school. I actually had to get rid of a boyfriend and a car and an apartment to even go on this journey. I did some intense fasting on basically raw foods before I did this trip. And then I had a bicycle that I packed in a box, and I left LA with a bicycle and some pannier bags and a backpack, and that was it. And then I took a train out to Arizona. I went to the Raw Spirit Festival, which I'll just leave that story out, but it's a really amazing, it was another amazing activation. And then I somehow made my way to Durango, Colorado, and then started bicycling to Hopi to visit this grandfather named Grandfather Martin. And Grandfather Martin, I don't know if he's still around now. I know the last I've heard, you know, he was a little bit frail. But he's up in Hope Villa, and I visited him. And I didn't get a lot of information from him. I had an amazing time with him. But he was definitely an elder, definitely older, and has trouble hearing. So I didn't get a whole lot of info from him, but I slept up there at his little dwelling for about 3 nights, and I really felt connected with the stars and the sunsets and the land, and I felt that my guides were definitely coming in, and they were telling me to just keep being creative with my art, and they were showing me like some black and white paintings I should do and just keep doing my movies. So I didn't really get any specifics on how to prepare. But what I feel that happened, like my friend and I, my partner and I that got married, he was going by the name Crow at the time. So we have two birds to go together. And we ended up going to Portland because I wasn't getting any art funding. I really wanted to get some funding for my movies and all these ideas that I was getting. And Ohio at the time in 2010, 2011 just really didn't have a lot of extra art funding. So I thought, well, maybe people are more into the environment in Oregon and maybe they're, you know, more into outdoors and there'll be more art funding. So we went to this power place. And this is 2011 at this point, and this is where I feel like I finally, years later, I'm finally figuring out what I was supposed to do, is that I'm basically a grid activator. And I guess even though we got married in the medicine wheel, we had been doing group work, like it's still taken me years to figure out how much the earth is actually calling me to these places, because it's always like, oh, I got to work a job and I got to fit here and I've got to have resources to get where I'm going and I can't just live outside. I mean, there's been a lot of sacrifices I've had to make and, you know, work in the matrix. But meanwhile, there's like, hey, come to Michigan, make a medicine wheel or come here, do this. And I'm like, really? You know? So I think for the whole 2012 thing, it's been a journey to find myself and to figure out, okay, I've had all these past fives and I have all these old programs that are still running. And it's like, how much of it do I want to run it, to run those programs? And actually, and to be honest, this whole Michigan trip coming up and doing a medicine wheel wouldn't have happened if I hadn't had this time back in Ohio to reassess myself and say, no, really, I am this person who's supposed to go around and help activate people, communities, love, peace, you know, communion, and helping them with the elementals and helping them connect with prayer, you know, simple things. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, that's great. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Trip and Bird, do you have anything coming up here in Ohio that's going to be coming up pretty soon?
No, I'm actually closing all the things down at this point because I've been doing a lot. And I would just encourage people to go to Lori Abel, my Facebook page. There's a whole wall full of Serpent Bird activations, my YouTube show. I did one recently with Sadhanam Singh, who was a core member of Serpent Bird 7, and he's now an amazing Kundalini instructor, and he's just really loves chanting and singing. So I have an interview that's about 18 minutes with him. You can watch that anytime on YouTube. Just type in my name, Lori Abel, and look for Serpent Bird Activation. And then I also have one with Amanda Preston, who runs this really amazing farm called Bee Good Gardens, which is focused on education of the bees and preservation of the bees. And she's also the first seed library in Columbus. So I would definitely just say, you know, if you want to contact me, I'm very friendly. You can call me, ask me for card readings, guidance on a personal level, but there's no, you know, big group stuff coming up.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
I have a question for you before you run off on us.
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious about what you feel and how you feel about Ohio and how you feel about the holistic community in Ohio. I mean, what's your take on it? I mean, since you've had the experiences to go to different communities and visit different, you know, places. I mean, not to compare apples to oranges or anything, but I'm just curious about Ohio because I hear a lot of mixed things. I hear good things and I hear some challenging things and I hear it's a mecca of sorts. So I want to hear your
sure.
version of the story.
Oh yeah. Well, I think you might remember when I called in from Cottonwood, Arizona, and on your show with Dawn, and mm-hmm. I was going a little nuts that day about Columbus, Ohio, because I really missed it. And now that I've been back for a couple months, I've reintegrated, and so I've gone to Sadhanam Singh's classes, his Kundalini classes, and one of them was at the All Life Center. I've been back to the Krishna House, which has been amazing because for 20 years I've gone to the Krishna Temple on West East or East East, and it is on fire right now. I mean, these people are asking my name, and they want to see me again, and there's always been this shift in their culture where, you know, the Indian culture, they want you to wear the traditional garb and, you know, mm-hmm. show up in a long skirt. And I would challenge those norms sometimes when I went to the temple and get kind of shit gazed and stuff. But now it's like, have you been here before? And I was like, oh, yeah, I've been here for like 20 years. You guys never asked me my name. But now they're like really stepping it up. They've got another group called the I think it's called Bhakti Yoga Alliance or something, and they have some meetups in Dublin, and so it's like a lot of kind of yoga, Kundalini people coming from Dublin, and then the Indians coming and chanting Hare Krishna, but they're also incorporating some pranayama breathing with it. So there's really a lot going on, and to answer your question, like, I really have been so grateful to be back here because there's such a variety of things happening, like from your drumming events to, you know, the Krishna Temple to all the different yoga things. And then also, I've been to Franklinton quite a bit, to Frank's ashram. And it's quite the hippie ashram, I have to say, but he has such a golden smile and heart, and he really just wants people to feel love, and if nothing else, to feel included and that they're part of the, you know, the greater family. So sure. I really feel like there's so many areas that, you know, people can visit, and just I would encourage people to kind of step out of their comfort zones and their regular, I'm always going to go to All Life, or I'm always going to go to Whetstone or whatever. Like, I would really encourage people to embrace the other things going on.
Cool. Very good.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anybody else on the panel have any questions for Serpent Bird?
No, but just thank you for being our guest tonight, and thank you for coming back to Columbus. It's been wonderful talking to you, but I do also agree with you that this is just a smorgasbord of things going on here in Columbus, and people should visit different areas, try some yoga, try some meditation, you know, visit this place, visit that place, and it's a great place to raise up leaders and people stepping out of their comfort zone, because I see more people doing that here. I see more people taking on organizing events and doing things differently, maybe integrating a couple of different styles together to make something new. And that's exciting. That's where growth takes place, and that's where we all grow together through the process. So thank you.
You're welcome. People can also find me through my website. It's just www.serpentlikethesnakeandbird.com, one word. So thank you,
very
guys.
Good.
Thank you for sharing.
All right.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we really
have a great night. Well, I'll be back to Columbus. I will be back. It's one of my home tribes. So.
Awesome.
Awesome. Sounds great.
We'll see you there.
Have a good evening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
That's cool.
Wow. Yeah.
It's great to see. I mean, she's probably a little bit younger than us three to some degree. So it's good to see someone young like that moving and traveling.
Everybody's younger than us three, except maybe Frank. He's probably the oldest of all. You're right. Yeah.
No, but it's good. It's good to see young people be activated like that. I mean, I'm seeing more young people than I probably have in the past. And I'm glad that young people are actually challenging us, challenging, you know, other groups and stuff, Because sometimes in the holistic community, we kind of get stuck in our ways. We kind of get stuck in a pattern, and we do things a certain way. And the cool thing about being a spiritual person and to be in a spiritual community is to be flexible and to expect possibilities and things that can happen, and that things don't always have to be that way. You know, so it's refreshing to hear. A lot to learn.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, she gives you kind of an excitement. You know, she's excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
It rubs off on me, and, you know, I get excited about it too. And that's one thing that you can kind of, like you were saying, tend to get into a rut or a certain mindset about what you do, you know, and you ignore what's going on around you and focus on what's your thing, so to speak. But
right.
Really, we're all integrated. We're all networked together. And the more we can take energies, you know, and bring them into our work, or, you know, give out some new energy to someone else and inspire them, you know, to try something different or to, you know, add something new to the ever changing tapestry, if you will, of what we're building here. That
mm-hmm.
everyone grows from that. So I think that's
absolutely
just amazing. And, you know, it's good. It's good. I know I too can sometimes get jaded or get a little like, you know, well, nothing's really happening here, but maybe that's just because I'm not looking close enough. Maybe it's just because I'm not, you know, out there actively in it as much as I should be. So that's
mm-hmm.
It's good to remind myself of that too.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think sometimes we're, mm-hmm. even in the holistic community, we actually expect results to some degree. We want to see people, you know, heal. We want to see, you know, people come to our events. I mean, sometimes, you know, I thought about this and we've talked about this, and sometimes if one person shows up, then they were meant to be there. If nobody shows up, mm-hmm. then it was meant for it to be that way. For some reason you'd have to sit there for some reason, because it's you. You are the experience. You are learning, and you learn from that when there's no one comes to your events too. Trust me, I've had people
mm-hmm.
not show up, but then I've had a lot of people show up. It goes both
mm-hmm.
ways. And, you know, the
right.
feelings
and
are mixed both ways.
Right. You know,
we
had our shaman walks
where
it's just been you and I taking a shaman walk, or
yeah.
maybe a couple of people that came along.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had powerful experiences at those times, just as powerful as if 20 people had been there. But
sure.
sometimes it's even more intimate, you know, and it's more powerful because
mm-hmm.
you're
mm-hmm.
connecting on such a more close level with those people and the land. So. Yeah, it is what it is, and it is what it
mm-hmm.
has to be, I guess, you know, what it's meant to be.
Yeah, I know at times, me personally, I like the crowds because, you know, I feed off that energy too, you know, and I get connected. But I get connected also being by myself, you know, and being out in
mm-hmm.
nature and being in that room, sitting there going, oh, nobody showed up. And trust me, in the beginning when I first was starting this work and no one showed up, I took it personal. I took it personally
yeah,
and be like,
sure.
man, what am I doing wrong? And it's not that I'm doing anything wrong. Back then I was thinking, well, maybe I'm not promoting right. Maybe I'm not this. Maybe it's not that. You know, but, you know, now it doesn't even matter if anybody shows up. You know, if 10 people show up, fine. If 50 people show up and no one shows up, it doesn't matter anymore. You know, I'm at a different place in my mind about why things play out and why the universe wants it to
mm-hmm.
be this way. So I've matured in my spirituality too. I've matured and still maturing and still learning and still embracing and still figuring it out, because you never stop learning.
That's right.
I think we learn something every day, you know, there's
mm-hmm.
something that you're shown or given to either reflect upon or just embrace 100%. Every day
mm-hmm.
things happen, you know, for those reasons.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I want to ask you, Adriana, have you had a chance to look at that DVD of Iggy's early animal meditation? I gave her one of the DVD that you made a long time ago.
Which one is that?
I actually have watched all three of those DVDs, and I meant to bring them back to you the next day. I watched them all that night later on, but and I forgot to bring them when I saw you the next day after that, but yes, I did, and I've watched, you know, a couple, and I've been around him when he's kind of done some things like that. But, yeah, it was interesting because I've seen how he's changed from then and,
yeah.
and how he works now. And there is a difference. You have grown. You have changed. But your core belief, I feel, is still there. That is, that hasn't changed. Your core belief in the way that you go about teaching or helping, trying to help others, you know, leading them in meditation. You have your core beliefs about things, and
mm-hmm.
I see it every time that you work with people. I've seen you work with people, not necessarily through meditation like that. You know, I've seen you work with the healing drum, which, by the
mm-hmm.
way, we had an awesome healing drum circle at Kobacker House Sunday afternoon. And it was interesting in the beginning of that because a lot of new first-timers were there, and every one of them, I do believe, had really, really recently lost, you know, a person so dear to them in their life, if not a couple of people. But in the beginning, the energy, it just all started with the drum and just welcoming people, inviting them, but not forcing them, you know, to stay or participate if they didn't want to or whatever. Just to feel that energy and that tension and those expectations just that they had or seem like they had go out the door and then just let emotions come in. And there were a lot of very powerful emotions. And afterwards,
mm-hmm.
every single person shared their experience, and it was very heartwarming. So you did an awesome healing circle at Kobacker, Iggy. And
thank you.
That was very special.
You and Mary helped out, and I appreciate that as well.
Yeah.
Your energy, holding space for and anchoring everybody.
Amazing times.
Yeah, those always are. It's interesting and touching to see how the drum affects people differently and releases
mm-hmm.
things. You know, you always talk to Iggy about how the drum shakes things up, breaks things up. So, you know, somebody can go in thinking
yep.
one thing and come out completely changed and
mm-hmm.
and processing through all those emotions that they may have stuffed away, or you thought that they were strong, you know, and to become weak again.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
important to have someone there who is open and compassionate and just letting them process. And I
mm-hmm.
believe you're perfect for that, Iggy. And I really thank you for
thank you,
being there, you know, on
mm-hmm.
their behalf, to thank you for, you know, being the person that you are and the place that you are, that you're needed. You're so needed for that.
Well,
yeah.
I want to thank both of you just for being who you are, because
mm-hmm.
both of you give a lot of yourself to people every day, whether it's in person if they need you or whether it's just what you post. But you
yeah.
do give a lot of yourselves, both of you, and I am just so grateful that I have friends like you. Because you're precious. You're precious to me. What you believe and what you love and what you do for other people, that's precious to me. And you've helped me. You've helped me immensely in the past almost 4 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you both have. So I love you for it, and thank you.
Oh,
you're welcome.
You are so welcome. Yeah, it amazes me, you know, that I have gathered these people around me that, you know, are just so familiar to me in such a short period of time. It's like we're family, and that's
mm-hmm.
something I've never had before in my life. And it's just amazing and ever growing. You know, we change and grow, and it's like a dance. You know, we just keep going and going and changing, you know,
yeah.
our rhythms and all these other things, but still together, you know, still together. And I don't think that will ever change. And many great things await us even more, you know, as we grow and as we move forward. I think that there's going to be challenges, but there's also going to be some great experiences and just awesome moments where we're going to look at each other and just go, I can't believe we're here doing this. But I wake up every day and I'm excited about what waits for me and what waits for all of us as we move forward here. You know, it's challenging, but it's also very exciting, and it's the reason why we're here. So bring it on. Bring it on.
Awesome. Bring it on. We're ready.
Absolutely. Ready or not, here we go.
That's right. Well, I want to thank both of you for being on with me tonight. It's always a pleasure. And, you know, it's a great start for the week, you know. And it's a great way to move and propel me forward, you know, to, you know, thinking about hope in all my dreams and aspirations and the things that I want to do with my life in, you know, this short life that we all have. And it's always a good reminder, and it's awesome to hear your version of how you experience me, which is really cool, because sometimes I don't experience myself that way. And just to think that, you know, all the things that I've done, and one of the things that, you know, knowing that I've touched your hearts and touched your feelings, your emotions, and, you know, how connected we all are, is important to me. And, you know, when I do my drumming, I've seen a person in a wheelchair who has never been, you know, hasn't been active, hasn't talked or hasn't moved. And then watch them and everybody come up to you and say, that kid hasn't said a word in months, you know, hasn't had any movement. And all of a sudden he's moving, jigging, you know, and it's just like, it blows your mind, because there's a lot of drummings that I do that you guys don't come with me on those journeys. You're with me in spirit, but you know, there's a lot that I've seen some amazing things. You know, you, Adrian, have come with me. David, you've been with me. Well, both of you have been with me, and you've seen the work that that drum does, and the work that spirit does through that drum. It's amazing, and I'm honored to be that keeper of that beat, you know, for whoever wants to hear it, whoever, you know, is called to hear that, feel that, embrace that.
Right. I think that's something people don't understand sometimes, is that we're not really playing the drum. We're just letting things flow through us into that drum. And what comes out sometimes, or what happens, is just as much a surprise to us as it is to them. You know, you can't plan that. You can't script anything like that. You can't even imagine sometimes anything like that. It's just amazing. So that's the beautiful journey that this life has become for me. Since I arrived here, and I arrived in the midst of all of you, and I look forward, like I say, to every day and where we're going, and look back with gratitude on where we've been.
Yeah, I just wanted to add something from yesterday's drumming. We did the healing drum where everybody lays down, and there was two moms there, and it totally choked me up, because I've lost a child, and you know they've lost child, the both of these women. But the one thing that they both said that was almost identical is they got to hear the baby's heartbeat one more time. Both of them said that. And I was just like, the first, when I heard the first person say that, I was like, and then when I heard the second lady say that, I started crying. I couldn't hold back. Yeah. It was just too much. It was just a miracle, you know, and, you know, and I know they both came in very guarded. They both came in very guarded and very protective about their emotions. And I wasn't sure if I was reaching them, but I knew that I trust the process. And then when they shared, it was more than I expected that they were going to say. And I was moved. Right? Adrian, remember that?
Yeah, it was powerful. That's what I meant when I said the energies that were there in the beginning, and then to watch them just go out those energies, and everybody let themselves down, because both of these women, their husbands were also there, and they were very guarded, you know, coming in. but they both shared some interesting, you know, their perspective on it too. And it's very heartwarming. It just, there was so much love and compassion at the end of this circle that it wasn't overwhelming, but it was a joyous love, compassion, and release. And it was just amazing. I mean, it really was. It was amazing to see it from the beginning to the end of that one, how everything just changed, and the guards go down, and the tears came out. But there was happiness in those tears.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you know, and you could have a job paying you $100,000 a year, and you would never get the satisfaction that you get from just having touched a human life like that.
Right. That was a once-in-a-lifetime thing that we all shared in that one moment, you know, and there'll never be another moment like that. There'll never be the same people that were there. None of that will ever be replicated in any way because it's impossible. Just like it's impossible to, you can't script your drumming when you start. You know, we don't play a certain rhythm to this and a certain rhythm to that. We're not choreographed or, you know, everything set like that. That is not at all how that rolls. And, you know, then when you have them participating, a lot of people were pounding out anger on their drums. There was, you know, people were in the very, very beginning stages, you know, for a lot of them of the grieving process. But anger's a big part of the grieving process. And anger was present, too, you know. And there were some that said, I realized I have this anger and I need to work on it. I mean, that's what they got. That's what they got out of that. You know, they wanted to work on it. They realized it was there. And they wanted to work on the anger. But, you know, there was just so much love and compassion for strangers. I mean, we knew a handful of people that I know. You know, there's Sarah, there was you. Sarah and you know, and her kids and you and me and Mary, and I've seen the one guy that's in there, you know, past couple of circles, but to know him or whatever. But you know, a lot of these people also came up and hugged all of us and just thanked us for this, and they want to come back to the next one. They're coming back, you know. That's when you know you're doing something right, is when people do want to come back and they want to continue. That's what your inspiration and your, you know, that's what you are to, that's what you have to work with. When people need you more and they want you more, and you make the time to give that to those people. You take the time and you make it. And that's what you do for, if you care, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Absolutely.
You guys,
what we're
are
here for.
we have a big drumming coming up too this weekend.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Gathering of 1,000 drummers.
I'm so excited.
Our fourth anniversary at Alum Creek Beach.
Yep. The event is on Facebook. If you go on Facebook and type in Gathering with 1,000 Drummers 2016, you'll find us there. And there's maps on how to get there, so if anyone listening wants to try to make it or make it, come on down. Come on over, come on up, whichever direction you're coming.
Absolutely.
Just come and drop.
Right.
Circle
that's
the wagons.
That's where I met both of you, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I met you guys at the first one. Been with you ever since.
Yes, you have.
I have.
Yes, you have. We love it.
That's right.
Look where
that's
right.
Led.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Yeah, I think we've said all we wanted to say, unless you have something more to say.
No.
We just call it a wrap at this point.
Yeah, I think so. we just much peace, love, and hope to this world. And okay. Don't believe what you see on TV. You know, that's a show.
Mm-hmm.
Go out in the streets, talk to people, look inside yourself. You'll find the truth there.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Show kind love.
All right. Resikwi to everybody. Gratitude and love. Ho'oponopono. You guys have a great week. And just be kind to one another. Do the best you can. And we'll see everybody next week. Check our website at withinsightsradio.com. This show will actually launch up there, and you'll be able to listen to it. And you'll be able to read some articles about, you know, what's going on in our community. And the people who are on these shows who host them, they have links so you can go to them and read some articles they've written in the past. So I love you guys. You take care. Have a good evening. And we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Love. Much love.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.